SBS Radio.
7 billion stories and counting.
SBS Radio. Broadcasting in Dinka.
SBS Radio. Ekiel ne tongejiang Dinka.
Oya ne jang Dinka chanko we chake lor we chake motorete. We koye ping tongejiang ne anto we katinga diana pinyom. Ne tuto wakti ne tene ne Australia kwa Ekiel ne tongejiang we SBS Dinka toke biantong de toke te dorokungwan. Ekiel pando Australia. Wawaya kaping ne internet ni www.sbs.com.au/dinka. Kuna korba wakping ya ne nong in telepunde smartphone kini laba wakyung ne SBS Radio. Aloba lum kubatao na mobile dwi. Waya kiel ne taatir kutok ni yom sabit ku taab datami adur ni yom lad ne tek Sydney ken Melbourne. Waya kude kiel launum ya jam ne kawin korku kebu ke dile kwa. Netongajeng kuneka loiro na peinom kupan Australia. Kebian wene na wakoy to pan Australia dil gor buke chopping ka loiro negan toke ketin. Iya ka keiki ya kuwa jam na kukul ke loiro we chuke lor. Kuna nong ku korba le woke ya ku pio miat ke ke loi kuke in lor na Facebook daich ne SBS Dinka. Kuna korba wa yopi ya ke in jam wene wong ne telepun. Na to no Australia ke yen e telepun ne Melbourne. Ne abak biak dongwan dongwan terwan ku dongwan ro ro kwa bai ku dik ye na ba biene to ngeleng le belo ko ko nim ke 0399492205 na korbo wo yo ke internet pe ke intau 61 ye to kunya 0 na kam de 3 ye ne tan in wo yo we cha ke lo.
Hello and welcome to SBS Dinka program. Now is 2 a.m. in Melbourne, Australia, and I will be speaking with the chairman of the SPLM DC, Dr. Lemakol, who is now in Juba. We interviewed him 2 weeks ago, but today is a different circumstance. As we heard from BBC and a short telephone call yesterday, that he is now in his house, but his house is rounded. I think he will tell us more about it. Dr. Lem, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good. What happened? Why are you surrounded? Are you part of what is happening in Malakal?
Well, of course, let me give you a brief note about what happened.
Yes.
That on Thursday night, we noticed unusual movement around the house. There were four security cars. They closed the two roads that lead to the house. And then there were some personnel that were at the main gate of entrance where cars come in and get out.
Yes.
So one of our cars left and it was allowed to go out. But when it was trying to come back, it was denied entrance.
Oh.
Those people never told us who they were, nor what they wanted. But we were able to, some of our guards who are with me, were able to know some of them, and they turned out to be the people of the external security. So in that evening, I made contact with the Minister of Security, and he told me that he will ask his directors to find out the facts, and that he will get back to me. He didn't. Yesterday, I phoned him again. He didn't pick up my phone. So up to now, we don't know why they are keeping me inside.
Which minister did you communicate with?
I talked with the Minister of Security because the security organs fall under him, the internal security and the external security.
Okay, who is this in particular?
There's a minister of public security in the office of the president. He's General Obote Mamur.
Okay, so when you spoke with him, was he?
No,
he was not personally aware of the situation but he was trying to find out from the directors.
Well, he didn't say he was not personally aware.
Okay.
He just told me that he will ask his directors and come back to me.
And now he's not picking up the telephone again.
Yeah, so I've not spoken to him again. So up to now, as we speak, I don't know why they are keeping me under house arrest. This is, for me, it is equivalent to house arrest. If you can't move, you know?
As we speak now.
This is the point. So
are these people still around your house as we speak?
They are, yeah.
So how are you? How are your family or people that support you getting food into the compound? Even cars are being prevented.
Well, this is another thing. Fortunately, they allow people to get out and they allow people to come in. It is only me who is not supposed to move.
So the is there any person actually that heard your interview with BBC and might have come in with information why you are being locked in?
No, not only my interview with the BBC, even yesterday, the National Alliance, which brings together 18 opposition parties, they held a press conference and they talked about this unusual situation. And all this is carried in today's papers here in Juba. So anybody who might have not heard what I said on the BBC and Voice of America, not even the press conference of the Alliance, must have read today in both English and Arabic papers that what happened regarding the restriction of my movement.
Now, if you can give us, before we go into Malakan situation, if you can give us the real situation, Dr. Lem, who actually managed the security operatives or the security organs when people can just show up and they don't tell you why they are monitoring you and they don't tell you whether there is a warrant of arrest or whether they are protecting you? Why?
This is the point. Yeah, that is the point. It looks like, you know, things are just loose. And something like security, if it is loose, then you can see there's a problem in the country. I talked to the internal security people, and they say they didn't know. So I can believe that they didn't know. But the external security people, actually by chance, my place is very close to their office.
Yes.
So if they didn't know, if it wasn't they who did that, and there were some people who came that they didn't know, is even also a failure to carry out the responsibility if they cannot take actions against people who come and restrict the movements of people that don't belong to them.
Now,
that's part of their mission.
Have you tried any other minister? That these are most of your colleagues, even though you have a political ideology that is different to their own now in SPLM. Have you managed to communicate with any other person other than Mahmoud?
But you can see what the reaction of the Minister of Cabinet Affairs and the Minister of Information, who is supposed to be the official spokesman of the government.
Yeah.
They are at the state of denial. They are denying that nothing of the sort has happened. And we're telling them, you come and see for yourself. You come and see the people and ask them. So it shows that there is a cover-up and people are not willing to accept the reality that they did that because they must be unprepared. Maybe they don't have a concrete reason to do what they just did.
Now, are those security operatives in civilian clothes or they are there with their guns? And
they have their guns, yeah.
So they are mounted, they pick up with guns and everything?
Some of them are in civilian clothes, some are in uniform.
So and none of them came into to tell you, Dr. Lem, this is why we are here and we are here to protect you, or we are here to guide you because you are accused of this?
None whatsoever, none. They just are there. I don't know whether that is supposed to be intimidation or psychological pressure. I don't know. They never came in to tell us who they were and what they want to do. The minister is the responsible people are avoiding responsibility.
Which suburb is that? Which suburb?
Ministers are denying.
Which suburb are you in? Is that in Jebel or where is that in Juba?
It is Haijalaba, very close to the
president.
To the market. No. To the market. It's, the president is on the other side. The president is in Amarat, but I am in Haijalaba.
So, in fact,
between where I stay and the security is just a road.
So you are next to them.
Yeah. So why would they tolerate people they don't know to be harassing people?
In the baramat ne biyan de anin walk kalu erud kwanye ku kanong kalu kubiwar ne pidui anong dol kote lubin kaya jam gato walk ne email ne dinka.program@sbs.com.au le walk ne Facebook ka kwanye kalu el kuchuk ne Twitter ka in the bar walk tuh SMS ne taachel walk ne 011 ver doro dongwan ku dongwan diak kro ku diak. Okay, now let's come to Malakan issue. Do you think that there is a connection that is being created out of that? And because in the past you have been accused to have linked with General Olunch, and now that somebody might have been making something of a thought, do you have anything that that you can explain about the situation in Malakan and your connection?
Absolutely none. You know that Olunch came under the command of Bapeng Mantwil.
Yeah.
When they made peace with the government, he's under the command of Bapeng Mantwil, who was commissioned as Lieutenant General, and he was commissioned as Major General. Then, after that, he became an SPLA officer. He announced himself that he's now a supporter of SPLM and that he will not tolerate any other political group in the areas he operates under. So you can read between the lines. What does he mean when he talks about
which is a Chulukland, and yes.
Yeah. And that is actually all the seats in that area are
SPLMDC.
Are members of SPLMDC. Yeah. So what do you read out of that? And then all this time, he has been the darling of the general headquarters of the SPLA. You know, he was very close to them. He had nothing to do with us, the people who are not part of the government. So I don't think anybody in Juba here would even ever think that he has something to do with us, either as a party or with me as an individual. They know that there has been no connection whatsoever between us and him. And I challenge them because they have, you know, they monitor telephone calls. I challenge them to produce even a single one that took place between me and him. So I don't think that could be a reason for them to act that way.
Now, when you come to the situation now in Malakal, there is a big problem now. Since the deputy to Olunch was killed, and the issue is not being well explained between the SPLA, which is the SPLA government, Olunch, and the other general who are fighting, the fighting is seemed to be taking ethnic lines between the other two ethnic groups, Dinka and the Nuer, on one side, Olunch as a Chuluk on the other side. Are you aware of any situation that might have sparked this?
Well, they say that what is not said is what divides. So it seems that there are a number of agendas in that situation. First of all, Olunch is supposed to be a commissioned SPLA officer and should be treated like that. His deputy, who was killed in the area, is a commissioned SPLA officer. Now, when that incident happened, it was very clear that he was not treated as such.
Okay.
So that is one of the things that is not answered. The second thing is, what is the relationship between the army and the administration of the state. The constitution says very clearly that the army is national, and it gets its commands
from the
army headquarters.
In Juba.
Yeah, in Juba. So now, what makes the bodyguards of the governor to clash with the army unit? And if that happens, what is the mechanism of solving the problem? And if the clash was between Olong and our bodyguards of Olong and bodyguards of the governor, let us assume each of them is commanding people from his tribe. Now, what brings the other group you mentioned,
yes,
into the fight?
Into the fight. Yeah.
But the more fundamental question is, if the area is under the control of the government and there is no known rebellion in that area, why would the government arm civilians to recruit into the army? Why would the government arm civilians to protect themselves?
What
is the army for? The army is supposed to protect the people.
Are you referencing the case of Akoka? Are you referencing the case of Akoka and some areas within the Upper Nile?
Yeah, but they say that the fight was between Akoka youth. Where did these youth get their arms from? And their area is under the control of the government. Yeah?
Now, okay.
These are sort of things that need to be investigated about
the situation,
solving problems once and for all.
Not
meal solutions or not creative solutions.
Now, Dr. Lemakol, if you can just help most of the South Sudanese who will be listening to you, it become a confusing trend now. SPLM-DC is talking, and SPLM in opposition is talking differently. SPLM-GTN are talking differently. SPLM in government are talking, and every message that comes out, you don't get a reality that is going to get to bring us peace. This one is saying, like now the situation in Malakal is very confusing for an ordinary citizen to understand. Yeah. These are government troops fighting each other, and the reason are not being said.
That's right. What I'm telling you, because the reason are not being said, this is why they cannot solve this problem. But I told you the reasons. I asked questions that should be answered. If you want to solve that problem, then you must answer these questions. You must define the relationship between the army and the administration of the state. You must stop arming civilians in areas that are controlled by the government. You must establish immediate measures of investigation if an issue arises. The army should not have different classes of people. Once you are an SPLA commission, you are commissioner SPLA, then you are like another SPLA officer. So if anything happens to you, you must be treated as such.
Now take us
so
to...
So that people feel...
Take us to
about your question...
Yeah, go ahead. go ahead.
About your question of the SPLA, whatever hyphen is added, let me tell you, SPLM-DC is a registered political party. There is no relationship with the IO or former detainees or SPLM in government. Let us be very clear.
Yeah.
We are a registered political party since 2009. We have been active as a political party. Even what is happening now, we pointed it out in 2009 and the years that followed. And nobody was ready to listen. On the contrary, we were being called names and so on. And the fingers were being pointed at us.
Yeah.
So we are different from pointed at us. So these three groups are just offshoots of the division that happened in December 2013.
Now, take us to when Sadiq al-Mahdi was the Prime Minister of Sudan. You were already a student. And there was this story of Rezigat, Moralin, and all the Bagara being armed, actually, against the South Sudanese and some of the neighboring communities in order to create a tribal defense forces. or the departure later with the NIF. Now, is this the same copy and paste being done to South Sudan? And what is the benefit?
This when Sadiq al-Mahdi was first prime minister in 1966 and 67,
yes.
there were no militias. These militias came later on in the 80s when the SPLA started fighting. So it is actually Nimeri who started the militia.
The militia, okay.
Which was continued by Suare Dahab. And then continued by Sadiq al-Mahdi in his second coming back to power in 1986. So there was no militia What I am saying is that now the people in Upper Nile, you know, the incentive of arming people in the time of the northern government when they were arming people. Including Anyanya too, by the way.
Yes.
The incentive of arming them is the proclivity to loot, you know. Either you are looking for cattle, or you are looking for property, or you are looking for things like that. That was the thing that drove the counter revolutionary work of the Khartoum government that time in arming tribal militias.
Yes.
And usually those people have interest in the places concerned, like the Bagara, because they go to South Sudan to graze during the dry season. So they had a reason to go there to secure their routes of grazing, you know. But in Upper Nile, the Dinkas and the Shiluks, none of them in history is known to go and look for cattle from the other side. None of them is looking for property from the other side. Their problem is over the borders between the Shiluks and the Dinka in Upper Nile. Now, when you arm people, rather than solving that problem, it means that whoever is strong will try to impose his own version of those borders.
Of borders.
But with arms. And ironically, these arms are coming from one source. Why would the government arm two tribal groups so that they fight against each other?
Now, sbs.com.au /dinka indicate the bin walk you thin the kachele cake. Pingere rule will you cake dom, unyoda, gorot, ke bagaping, vaya nong a jeer, yindai, the kapo and day cake in India. A token on a cake surai, toda lyric. Ukakoti, Kuliglachuk, Netelubin Wagya Yukin, Ukega Tokadia, sbs.com.au/dinka. During the SPLA after 1983, the first split of the SPLA, and then now again in 1991, created a lot of factions within the Great Upper Nile regions. Well, with you later when you become SPLM United, and then under Riek, a lot of factions came up again. Is this now again the concept that is being applied? There are already now Mabane defense forces. There are forces in Bor. There are forces now with Oling. There are forces now in Padang, the area. There are White Army. And there are other emerging commanders. There is SSRM. And then there will be more than 20 commander-in-chief in Upper Nile. What is the benefit now to the citizens of that area?
This is a problem. This is what I am saying, that if the government is not careful, it's working itself into a situation that it will be difficult to get out from.
Okay.
The proliferation of armed groups that do not get their orders from a central command is a very dangerous thing. Today is your friend. Tomorrow it will become your enemy. Take the example of Darfur. You know, there is this notorious person called Hassan Hilal.
Yeah.
Hassan Hilal was the one who was driving the Janjaweed all this time, fighting against the Darfuri groups on behalf of the government. Later on, he later on turned against the government, you see, with all the wherewithal that he got from the government, you see. So these things are not an exception. It is a rule, because once your motivation is something, then your loyalty is towards that thing. So today they are with the government, tomorrow they are not, because Is that because
there is no nationalistic agenda that they have got, or even any ideology? They are only attracted to the promises made to them, either titles or any wealth in return, and then a certain portion of the area to control.
It is a responsibility of the army to inculcate into the soldiers the spirit of nationalism and the spirit of one country and the spirit that they belong to a tribe called the army, which is above any other consideration. That is the work of the army. This is little done, you know, is little done. And especially if you have groups that are motivated by some very parochial interests, if you don't make them to come to the streamline, to the mainstream, then you are sowing the seeds of disintegration. So now it is a puzzle. If you have already, Olanya is an armed group. He was a rebel. Okay, now he was a rebel. So any other rebel, any person who rebel was against. Where did the other Shilus get the arms from who are not under him? Yeah. The same thing with the Dinka of Akoka or other places. Where did they get their arms from? From the government. What for? The government said for them to defend themselves. Come on. What about the army? What is the army supposed to do? Is it not supposed to defend all of us?
Now,
if anybody wants to serve in the army, let him be recruited or let her be recruited into the army so that he's under the control, the command and control of the central authority.
Now, if I can share a story with you, I was watching a video the other day. There were two antelopes fighting each other, and a lion was waiting at a nearest place. And when they start attacking each other, the lion jump on one and the other one run. Is that the situation South Sudan is in now, that there is external interest?
Well,
maybe
the government, the lion was too much in a hurry. He should have waited until both of them are really tired, you know, and both of them are exhausted by the fight, and eat two, both of them rather than allow one of them to run away.
Okay.
Exactly. When a situation happens like that, those people will exhaust themselves. These are supposed to be government loyalists, so they are fighting themselves, and they have an enemy awaiting them, which is the SPLM. Why would the SPLM-IO hurry up and come to that? They will wait until those people exhaust themselves and then just come and find a place that is easy to become an easy prey to them.
Now,
what is happening in Malakal now? Are they not exhausting themselves? Olanya is a part of the government. The governor is part of the government. The Dinka youth
are part of the government.
Or what they call are also loyal to the government.
The Chuluk are
fighting themselves.
And the Chuluk are loyal to the government.
The Chuluk youth are loyal to the government. So if they are fighting themselves, it's just like mantra, something falling from, manna falling from heaven onto the SPLM-IO.
You have been a minister of foreign affairs and also your political knowledge into South Sudan or Sudan in general is very enormous. And if we look at the situation of South Sudan now and the external relationship or the other interests that is from the neighboring countries and the international community, do you think now there is a position for a country to succeed out of all this?
Well, first of all, you must admit any independent observer, any objective observer will admit that South Sudan, as we speak, is an isolated country internationally in terms of foreign and international connections. And therefore, without concerted efforts, it is not easy to get back this lost confidence. Remember that we started from a very high point of euphoria and goodwill from all the friends of South Sudan, especially the neighboring countries, and really they were prepared to help us if we did not mess it up. But it appears we are not even learning from the way we mess it up in order to correct it.
To correct it.
To correct the situation. So everybody is waiting, you know, to see how best they can get their interests out of like, you know, the example you gave, If the cow is dying, then will people wait to one will take the leg, the other one will take the ribs and so on. See, it's now, unfortunate if that
now,
cow should
be there. In the village, it to be in walk ya ping tin the website that can mobile apps. In the baju urban tea, a go ping in your kurul chidom, kubaragor ke in a duping, the kachel ku keg ning india. Name sbs.com.au/radio. Let's come to the situation now that $129 million are approved for the celebration. And
one-day celebration.
But as a South Sudanese now, the rate of dollar is totally getting worse. And citizens who are receiving £200 per month are now, they will have no future at all in what they are eating.
It will be $20 now.
$20. Is anybody talking about this at a political level?
Well, actually, one journalist suggested to me that maybe it is your comment about the $129 million that took you into these problems. Yeah, exactly that. You know, when sometimes you wonder whether the government really, you know, takes time for it to sit down and evaluate what is going on. Because you could not understand that under such conditions that some of it you have described. For example, the rocketing prices, you know. Some 3 days ago, the price of sorghum bag was £50. Today it is 110 and going up. This is an increase of 120%, yeah? So this is the prices are going up. The inflation is widening. And we are scoring, you know, number one in the worst indicators. We are number one in child mortality. We are number one in fragility. We are number five in corruption compared with other countries and so on. Yet, we are ready to spend $129 million in one day. And the word, mark the word, you know, it is celebration. It is not marking the fourth anniversary. It is said celebration.
Celebration.
What do we have to celebrate when we are in the middle of war? That is taking tens of thousands of lives of our people. We have more than 2 million displaced. We have all the destruction that is taking. And famine is threatening. You know, even a state like Warap, where there is no bullet shot, you know, the governor announced the other day that there's a looming famine there. So the issue is not only the war, you know.
Now,
the issue is bigger than that. Why don't you use the $129 million? To pour it in the market so that the exchange rate
can drop
of the pound against the dollar, you know, comes down. Why do you have two exchange rates? Why don't you unify them, you know? Because, you see, some people will tell you, no, if we unify them, there will be inflation. Come on. If you go now to a travel agent, you want a ticket.
They are charging you.
Calculate the dollar
on a black market.
The dollar as a parallel rate. Yeah, not the official rate. So already the inflation you are talking about
is already in the market.
When you combine you unify the exchange rate, the official one goes up, the parallel rate comes down, and then you have something that can stabilize the inflation and the market accordingly. But it seems that they are not moved by such things.
Now, okay, let's come now to the issue. I spoke with one of the young economists who actually worked with the Minister of Finance and later with the World Bank. And he quoted one of the IMF workers that the oil reserve, South Sudan oil reserve, 50% of it is already debted out. 50% of the oil
mortgage.
Reserve.
It's mortgage, by the way, not to cut you short, this government is living on at the expense of the coming generations. If we are now getting loans at rates that are not favorable, already the debt of South Sudan has gone beyond $10 billion, Who will pay them? It is the coming generations.
Another economist told me that it is already now at $15 billion. That is the he could not confirm the source, but he said that the debt level now is $15 billion. They are borrowing at 10%, and these are not official loans that are approved by the parliament. What are the complications?
There's no transparency. They are not transparent. There is no transparency. Compare that to Sudan. Sudan now is almost 60 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
And the debt in Sudan is over 40 billion. Say even 50 billion. Okay. But it is less than that. Now in 4 years we are getting to 15.
When are South Sudanese going to be serious about issues that are affecting them, whether at a political level? When are they going to incorporate their understanding to listen to experts or even evaluate things based on numbers or situations by scenarios and by analyzing them? When are they going to learn this?
And this is what we say. This is what we have been calling for as opposition parts, that this country belongs to all of us. Nobody has the wisdom to provide the solution on his or her own. And therefore, we must have a national consensus dialogue conference to decide on the roadmap of our country. We are already in disaster. And this war, if it continues, definitely the future of the country is bleak. So it is better that we salvage the situation before it gets too late. The government is not willing to listen to that. The government thinks that they have a divine right to rule the South Sudan, to misrule South Sudan.
You were a beneficiary of the South-South dialogue under Dr. John Garang. And he was very passionate about promoting South-South dialogue. And that was the spirit of South Sudanese being be able to sit down and solve their own problems based on their own understanding. Yeah. Kiir was part of that, and many of the other leaders who are today were part of that ideology. Where is the concept of South-South dialogue, and what was the benefit about it?
Well, the benefit of that is that, you know, people come out with something that is agreed by all. So all of us pay allegiance to the outcome of such an exercise. And we work passionately to achieve what you have been part of in deciding. So that is a very big motivation. But if somebody else thinks that he has all the answers, even if his answers are so brilliant, don't associate it with it, because you have not understood or you were not part of arriving at that particular solution.
Now,
what is important? And national issues are discussed by consensus.
Now, with yourself, are you getting frustrated by the situation? And at some point, will you continue with politics or sometimes say, look, I better go back to my academic work or start to benefit myself instead of talking to people that are not listening? Is there a point that you regret?
Well, you know, people are listening. You know, if you look at, there's a marked difference between the people now and what they were in 2011.
Okay.
People are listening. So we don't want to be impatient. People are listening. It is only the group that are controlling power who don't want to hear what is being said. But you also notice, you know, some of them who were in power some months back, listen to what they are saying now. So you can see that the education is making an impact. Not the formal education, I mean the statement of facts all the time and analyze situations.
So, and where
making an impact.
Where is our role now as media people? We are here. We are supposed to be covering.
Your role now is to disseminate the opinions of various sectors of our community to the listeners, so that they digest it. And the media has a big role. This is why they are on the receiving end here in Juba.
Okay. So we will not be rebel or government supporters or anything. What will be your advice to the media fraternity and all over the world, and especially those who are affiliated with South Sudanese coverage of news?
The media should be as objective as it can. It cannot be neutral on issues of South Sudan, but it must be impartial in apportioning opportunities to different points of view You know, it should be able to open a space for all, so that the different opinions interact. This is the advice I give.
Okay. I think we are getting that as Radio SBS, and that's why you are here with us. And we will talk to the government. Okay. And now with the last message that we will be getting from you, is there any assurance that you will be safe and on your own belief, or you are not sure of being taken anywhere, or just kept in your house?
Well, there is no assurance on things like this, you know, especially when they happen outside the law, because the law here and the constitution is very clear. The law is very clear that nobody's movement can be restricted except as dictated either by health conditions or by law, something to do with contravening the law. And this must be stated and given to the person within 24 hours from the moment that happened. This is what the law says, but nobody is implementing it. And even the government ministers, as I told you, they were denying that this thing happened. So this is worrying, because when people deny an event that is so glaring, it means that there are other agendas that are not known. So I would say that there is no guarantee of safety at all. That does not mean we stop telling the truth. We must continue to say what our conscience dictates us to say.
Okay, nong ke balwele thong jeng balle ko che ko be ping
with ko kwon to Australia we ke die we ke mo jam panda jam wo ke die chen ran bilu ran bi jam ne me radio e jam ko be bye ko ping ko je to akuma.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, and upon the thank you. sbs.com.au/dinka. In a kete lobin walk, you thin, the kachele cake. Pinger roll a will, you cake dom, unyoda, gorot, ke bugger ping, via nong a jeer, yindai, the kaku and day cake in India. A token on a kate surai, toda lyric, ukakoti, kuliglachuk, little lobin walk, ya you thin, uke a token there, sbs.com.au/dinka.